If you ever have the chance to visit the Holy Land, which Sharon and I have done, you will walk in the footsteps of Jesus and learn about the complicated world in which he lived. You may visit the Garden of Gethsemane, the upper room, and about 15 sites claiming to be Lazarus' tomb. You'll also likely visit Cana, the place where Jesus is said to have turned containers of water into wine for a wedding feast. And at the gift shop, you may even try some Cana wedding wine, but it is not recommended, which we did not do. While sampling the Cana wedding wine, one tourist asked a theologian guiding their tour, "Is this wine from the time of Jesus?" To everyone's surprise, the guide answered, "Yes. In fact, this wine is from the time of Jesus Christ. Because now is the time of Jesus Christ. He is not dead. He is risen." It is one thing to hear these words repeated in the midst of a Eucharistic prayer or during an opening acclamation. It is quite another to hear these words in ordinary conversation. And it is something else entirely to think about our lives through our practice of consuming bread and wine during the Holy Communion. But that is precisely what the Eucharist is all about. In the 1940s, a young black woman invited her boyfriend to join her one Sunday morning at her Episcopal church. And he was hesitant. He also was black and knew that his girlfriend's congregation was mostly white. This can be an uncomfortable dynamic in the 21st century. 70 years ago, it could have been downright dangerous. When it came time for the Holy Communion, the woman's boyfriend noticed that everyone drank from the same chalice. People who were not allowed to share the same drinking fountains in public were using the same cup to drink the sacramental wine. Nervously, he followed her to the rail and watched as she took bread. The priest then lowered the chalice to her lips and said, "The blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, which was shed for thee, preserve thy body and soul unto everlasting life." Stunned, the young man experienced the boundary breaker, bad policy defined, reconciling mission of the living God. He drank the wine and was forever charged and changed. The couple married, and one of their children grew to become the current bishop of the Episcopal Church, the presiding bishop, Michael Curry. Stunned, the young man experienced the boundary-breaking, bad policy-defining, reconciling mission of the living God. He drank the wine and was forever charged and changed. The couple married, and one of their children did grow to become presiding bishop, as I just said. In light of this story of how his parents experienced the Episcopal Church, Curry says, "Communion is a sacrament of unity that overcomes even the deepest estrangements between human beings." Deep estrangements do exist today, whether based on political beliefs, socioeconomic statuses, or the different ways we experience the world because of our race, creed, or sexual orientation. We need a way of bridging these gaps. Because until we can find unity among ourselves, we will struggle to find union with God. But Jesus says, as you just heard in St. John's account, that "Those who eat my flesh and drink my blood abide in me and I in them." This is understandably a difficult teaching for those crowds who follow Jesus. In fact, we are told that many of his disciples turned back and no longer went about with him. For many today, especially those who have little familiarity with sharing in the bread and wine of Holy Communion, this continues to be a difficult teaching. Difficult teaching. One that may often be depicted as archaic or even disturbing and absurd. Any reasonable person can understand this perspective, however. There is always more to Jesus than meets the eye. Roy Bradley Ashton, in his contribution to the Feasting on the World series, suggests the problem here is the lack of a proper understanding of the incarnation. Now, we seem to confuse the body as flesh without spirit with the body as incarnate flesh with spirit. Because of this confusion, we tend to consume the world without appreciating how God has infused creation with the Spirit. Thus we use and discard it in crude and materialistic ways, which includes the way we treat our environment and the way we treat each other at times. The ethical imperative at the heart of John's incarnational theology of the Eucharist is clear. Ashton writes, "Will we treat the world around us as incarnational or simply as material?" Incarnate has many subtle definitions, but all are based on God, Jesus, and the individual. This is a hard teaching, indeed, as it requires an incredible, thoughtful approach to the world, one that calls us beyond the comfort of routines that satisfy our immediate needs and even our own sense of fulfillment. If we treat the world, the whole world, as incarnational, we will need to include people that we despise. Not only will we need to include them, we will need to put our faith in them and in the living God's agency in their lives. By sharing in the Eucharist, as we do this morning, we share in an experience of the living God that breaks down walls. By living Eucharistically, we seek to recognize the living God in others. And by doing so, we are able to embrace one another as the gifts. Do you remember the exuberance you felt as a child on Christmas morning, even those born 6 hours after Jesus' birth? As you opened presents and joyfully or frantically tried to play with all of them at once? What if we treated everything and everyone with that kind of exuberance, as if everything and everyone were a gift? By living a Eucharistic life, we might find ways to break down the walls that divide us and see those from different backgrounds and those with different beliefs as gifts from the God who created them. This is the way Jesus lived, as if everyone possessed something special that was worth getting to know and worth connecting with on a truly human level. This is the way Jesus lived. This is the way we can live. This is the way God lives among us today. Now is the time of Jesus Christ. He is not dead. He is risen. Hallelujah.